I'm Casper Van Dien.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock.
Hi, I'm Christos Gate.
Hey, this is writer Fred Van Lente.
Hi, this is Ruth Fletcher Gate.
I'm Barry Gregory.
Hi, this is Derek Donovan.
And this is Victor Dandridge.
Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously.
We're on the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible James Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk. Comics talk.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Thinking Outside the Long Box. My name is Thomas Strange. I believe this will be, and Mike, you can correct me, episode 46. Is that right?
47.
You are wrong.
It's 47. I am not good at counting or at taking care of myself like an adult. Those are two things I'm not good at. Speaking of taking care of themselves like an adult, Josh, how are you, sir?
I am wonderful. We just did our Christmas decorations, and I got the biggest tree I could possibly find and fit under my roof.
Now, you guys don't know Josh, but his roof is actually humongous. How tall is that tree, Josh?
I'm not sure it hit 11 feet, but it's pretty close.
Whew. Now, what's the tallest tree you ever had at your old house?
I mean, my childhood house?
Yes.
Oh, my last house. So, childhood, we had... I mean, we had like a 15-foot ceiling, and we had a couple that came pretty close to scraping it.
Yeah. I remember some of those trees. They were ginormous. So I know why you get big trees. My tree is a little bit smaller. I think mine's coming in at about 2 feet. But it sits right next to my fireplace, and it's lovely. So the Jew so far has the biggest Christmas tree. How about you, Mike? Tommy, you got a tree up?
Nope.
Well, you suck. How about you, Mike?
I will be putting up my tree later. It is a light bulb that is shaped like a Christmas tree. It's my wife's favorite Christmas tree because we don't have to decorate it, and it only takes a minute to set up.
And that actually sounds nice, you know, as long as you got something everyone likes. We've been rocking the advent calendar. I'm a big Christmas nerd, as you guys know. And speaking of Christmas, today... Thinking Outside the Long Box, we're going to be talking about Christmas comic books that came out with a Christmas theme. This was not hard to do. There were a lot out there. Let's start off with my good friend, Mike Manning. Mike, I know you have the biggest, I think you and Tom have the biggest collections. What did you pull out?
No one's going to walk us in with the history of Christmas?
Oh, well then...
Well then, Josh, you're the expert.
Josh, why don't you tell us as a Jew what Christmas is?
It's when people kill bushes.
There was that's what your dad told you?
He wasn't talking about Christmas.
Oh,
the old man.
Is that what you heard your parents screaming through the wall of your childhood home? Kill that bush! No, it's a burning bush.
No. George Senior,
no.
Maybe.
George Senior. All right. Well, Christmas is Christmas. If you don't know what Christmas is, I'm afraid we can't educate you in this one podcast. But it's usually falls on December 25th, and it celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ. And it's become tremendously commercialized, as is apparent with all the comic book tie-ins. Now, Mike, do you want to tell us what your favorite Christmas comic book was?
Originally came up with, when you mentioned it, the DC Superstar Spectacular from early 80s. It's the Superstar Holiday Special. But when I did some further research, I found another one that is actually has my favorite Christmas story in it. I had completely forgotten about it, and it's very apropos. Last week we talked about Dead Man, and this is Holiday with the Superheroes number 2, and it has a 10-page story featuring the Dead Man that is called Should Old Acquaintance Be Forgot? And it is, the Dead Man is walking around, inhabiting the bodies of different people to try to experience Christmas and the joy of Christmas because he feels so alone that he wants to get some of the holiday spirit, and he can't do it. Every time he inhabits somebody else's body, he realizes he's just stealing the Christmas joy from them, and he's not feeling it himself. And he starts to feel really bad about himself when he is visited by a blonde stranger who tells him that that's, you know, that he should be thankful that even though he's dead, that he's still experiencing life because he has an opportunity to affect change. And because he's feeling so sad, it means that he is still alive even during the Christmas season. And the blonde turns out to be Supergirl, who a couple months earlier in Infinite Crisis was erased from continuity. So it's like the Ghost of Christmas Past, Supergirl coming to help the dead man deal with his depression in the holidays. It's a great story.
That does sound nice.
That does sound nice. I like that one. All right. Well, Josh, what was your favorite?
So I'm not going to be able to top that one. That sounds, well, Christmassy and good. Mine kind of goes in the other direction. And our stories, my comic comes from the perspective of the main man, Lobo, who gets hired by the Easter Bunny to hit Santa. The Easter Bunny is jealous that Christmas has gotten way too commercialized and has just completely overshadowed Easter, and he's not having any more of it. So he finds Lobo in a dingy bar, and he hires him to kill Santa. But Santa is not ready to give up quietly, and the elves have been preparing some special toys to repel Lobo. It's an epic battle.
Oh, he won't go quietly. He won't go quietly into that silent night.
He will not. And it's a terribly hilarious and ridiculously violent comic book all about the holidays.
Do any other holiday people get involved?
I'm trying to remember. It's been a while since I actually sat down and read it, but I think it's just the Easter Bunny and Santa who end up involved.
So Harry Hanukkah doesn't try to get in on the act. Okay.
No, there's no Kwanzaa appearance. There's no Harry Hanukkah. I mean, if the Hebrew Hammer had showed up and decided to throw down. I definitely could have. I would have been all in on that, but you know, can only hope.
Was that your favorite superhero movie? Was that your favorite superhero movie as a kid? The Hebrew Hammer. Actually, I love the Hebrew Hammer. I think that is. I thought the Hebrew Hammer was hilarious. I love that movie. Finally, a black exploitation movie for everyone else.
That's right.
All right, Tommy, I know you were going to fight Mike over this one, so what did you pick?
I picked Krampus. It is a story of the secret society of Santa Clauses getting together before Christmas, and St. Nicholas's bones were stolen, and they were the source of Santa's secret powers to go around the world, make the toys, get them all delivered. And so the Santas were all stuck at the North Pole and had no way of doing anything. And because the bones of St. Nicholas were stolen. And so they had to release the Krampus. The Krampus, in the original Santa Claus myth, was kind of the opposite of Santa Claus. He would go around on Christmas Eve, and if a child was naughty throughout the year, he would kind of punish the child. Whereas St. Nicholas
not, it's
would
not kind of
Santa Claus. What?
It's not kind of punish the child. He would whip them.
Okay, so he would beat them with a stick, sometimes to death. But anyway, his punishment kind of was equal to the amount of bad that the child did. So while Slinter Claus was sending out presents to good little boys and girls, Krampus was going from house to house beating on children. And Eventually, the Secret Society of Santa Clauses decided to lock up the Krampus, that he wasn't needed, that maybe it would be better if there was a kinder, gentler world where the children were not getting beat on for being naughty. And this comic came out in 2014. It was written by Brian Joins and Dean Kotz. And it's the story of Krampus getting released and having to track down who stole the bones of St. Nicholas, why they did it, and restoring the Santa Clauses to their former selves so that they could save Christmas. And, of course, the Krampus was in it to free himself forever, because the Santa Clauses said that they would release him and let him be free if they helped him out, since he was the only person in the North Pole that still had magic going on, because he operated on a different kind of magic. And this was a very well-done story. There was not a lot of heartwarming, like, Mikey story. It was a little more like Josh's story. It involves a lot of beating on sugar plum fairies and destroying nutcrackers and such. And I highly recommend this book. It's a
All right,
fantastic
now I'm...
tale.
I'm going to listen very closely to see if anyone's typing when I ask this trivia question. Can anyone name anyone famous who's played Santa slash Krampus at the same time? Because in this movie, Santa is Krampus and Krampus is Santa.
That's the movie, Tom. That's not the comic.
I know. I just thought I'd ask this question because it's one of my favorite stupid movies to watch at Christmas.
I haven't seen the movie, to tell you the truth.
It's called Santa's Sleigh. Santa is played by none other than Bill Goldberg. And Santa is a demon who is defeated by angels in a curling match and sentenced to deliver presents to children for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years is up, he turns back into Krampus and starts killing people. And this movie is about the 1,000 years finally being over and Santa running around killing people willy-nilly. It is a kind of an odd slasher flick slash comedy slash holiday movie. If you need a little Krampus right this very minute.
I think you guys had a different kind of childhood than I did, because my version of Christmas is a lot different than your guys' versions.
You were a little more
Catholic, right? You were Catholic, right?
Right. I get the whole.
So it should have been pretty much the same.
Yeah, Tommy, we went to the same church, for God's sakes. I know you're Catholic.
Yeah. I don't understand why it was so different, Mikey.
Yeah. People get drunk. You talk about Krampus. You get beat with a whip. You go to bed. It's fun. Good all-American fun. Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite comic. My favorite comic is a crazy mashup comic that came out in 1975. It is as big as a magazine. It's one of the magazine ones. And it's called Marvel Treasury Edition Giant Superhero Holiday Grab Bag. And it was published in 1975 for the ridiculously high price of $1.50. And I remember seeing this and really wanting it. But I did not have the $1.50 in 1975. But I did get a copy of it a couple years later when someone grabbed it for me at a yard sale. I think one of my uncles said, "Hey, you like comic books?" I'm like, "Oh, I really wanted that comic book." And yeah, it is a collection of a Stephen Strange, Doctor Strange, Luke Cage, a Hulk, a Nick Fury, and a Spider-Man story. Just five different Christmas-themed stories all in one book. And the Luke Cage and the Stephen Strange storylines don't end in the comic book. Don't end in this one. You'd have to go out and try to find the other books to get the rest of it. And the ones that do begin and end in this comic book are just loosely related to Christmas, because they're happening at Christmas time. And the Hulk one is just Hulk wandering the desert being sad, hallucinating. The Nick Fury one is about him defeating the hate monger and then getting laid. And the Luke Cage one, which was the best, was about
that.
Steranko did not work on this one. That was my first thought. This one is a Stan Lee and a Frank Springer one. And the Spider-Man one is pretty good. It's about Mysterio almost outing Spider-Man. And the Doctor Strange one is really weird because it's at a time when Doctor Strange wears a mask. This very odd mask that I've never seen before. So I did a little research, and they did put a mask on him for a little while in the 70s. Do you guys remember Doctor Strange's mask at all?
No.
No.
Yeah, he kind of – it's just it's a blank, like yeah, it's weird. I'll post a picture of it. I kind of forgot that he went through this phase with this weird mask. And that's my favorite comic book about Christmas. I really, really enjoyed this. I must have read it 100 times as a kid when I finally got it a couple years after 1975. And I finally found it on eBay. And I paid the ridiculously high price of $15 for it. But I'm very glad to own it. Does anyone have any runners up or anything for Christmas?
I got a ton.
Let's hear a couple.
All right. So first of all, while I was trying to find the cover of the Lobo paramilitary special, something came up that I did not know. There was a 13-minute short film, the Lobo paramilitary Christmas special, that DC put out. I didn't know this.
Really?
How did I not know this?
Well,
yes.
I'll put that on our Twitter page. That sounds like fun.
So yeah, they put it out in 2005, and it was produced for a total of $2,500. And I haven't watched the whole thing yet. I was trying to watch it before the podcast, but everyone was actually on time, and we started right away, which threw me. So, just saying out there, the Lobo paramilitary Christmas special is a video. It's on YouTube. We will put the link up.
All right, that's yours. You stop, because I want to say, because I think we're going to say the same thing next. Guess what came down the chimney with Kitty Pryde?
I was saving a good one. That's a good one. I have.
Yeah, that's a great
one.
That.
But that is a great one. So let's. That's 43.
Somewhere around there, that Kitty Pryde fights off the alien from the Brood on Christmas. And she's sad that she's all alone and everyone else is gone. And she defeats the alien by turning on the – well, spoiler alert, everyone – she defeats the alien the exact same way they do it in one of the movies. They turn the Blackbird jet engines on the alien and they roast him. It's a great comic book, and it's one of the things that made me fall in love with that character, Kitty Pryde. I know other people – chime in, guys. I know some of you guys love this comic book too.
I do, yeah. It's a great cover, great comic. Yeah.
I concur. There's also another X-Men run in Claremont series when they're – do you guys remember when they're in Australia and they've taken over the Reavers' lair and they find all the stolen property that the Reavers have taken, and Longshot for some reason can attune to the piece of property, so they go around and kind of play Santa Claus by returning all the stolen property to people.
Yeah, I was really surprised when that harpoon they found had been used in a suicide.
It was weird, right?
Keep your D&D characters out of this.
Because nothing says Christmas like a harpoon used in a suicide.
Shipyard Trilogy, right?
Shipyard Trilogy, bard, my depressing bard, who every time he tuned in on a piece of equipment and the DM said, tell us what it is. And I'm like, all right, this mace was used in a suicide.
Every time. Yep.
Every time. I kind of remember that too. I didn't know that Longshot had that power until that comic book.
I don't think anybody did.
I think it was conveniently created for that comic book.
Oh, okay. All right, well, that's me and Josh. We both said one that we really liked. LT, you got a second runner-up?
Didn't Iron Man Demon in a Bottle kind of end around Christmas with him, basically selling off his coat for a bottle of booze? And trying to keep his girlfriend warm and such. It was a very heartwarming story.
As most alcoholic stories are. That one, I haven't read Demon in a Bottle in a while. It was a great, great run. Does anyone else remember that better?
It ends with him being like hitting rock bottom, and he spends like his last $10 on a bottle of booze, and I believe he like just huddles in an abandoned tenement trying to keep his girlfriend who's having a baby warm. And I believe the baby was born and the girlfriend died and such. It was very, very heartwarming. And I think it was right around Christmas.
We did have different Christmases. That's heartwarming. Mikey, you got a second runner-up for us?
Yeah, I would say that one I talked about, the DC Superstar Special. It has five stories Christmas-themed. I like the Sergeant Rock one the best. There's also a really good Batman story in it where...
Oh, don't talk about that one. That one...
Okay, I won't talk about that Batman story. They've also got...
I believe that's the one I'm going to talk about for social relevance.
Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. The House of Mystery has one in it, and... So they pretty much cover... Oh, and Jonah Hex has a story in that. So they cover all the different genres that DC Comics was putting out at the time.
That's kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool. I kind of remember that one. That was a good one. All right, Josh, you said you had a... Go ahead.
I think I gave it away.
I got more.
Go, Josh.
Oh, so... sorry, Mike. I feel like I'm running over your chat there. So I'm going to go back further into X-Men history, somewhere in the 110 range. There's a issue where Banshee gets put into a coma, and when he wakes up for like a week, nobody visits him, and he's all mad at everybody. But then when he shows up at the base, they spent the whole week decorating it for Christmas for him. Now, I don't know how it takes you a week and how you leave your buddy laid up in the hospital without visiting him, even in the spirit of Christmas. It was kind of strange, but I always just remember that he was like, oh my God. He's like overwhelmed that they went through all this quote unquote, I'm making air quotes, even though we're on a podcast, I'm making air quotes, that they went through all this effort to decorate for Christmas because he was away. But I still think it was kind of awful that they just never visited him, but you know, there you go.
Maybe that was just the excuse they used.
Maybe.
Just an excuse they used.
Like Banshee? Yeah. I don't know. Who can say?
Kind of loud and obnoxious.
Yeah.
All right. Does anyone else have a runner-up they want to do?
I've got
two. All right, then. Go ahead. Two more, real quick.
Okay. Hulk, I believe it was 378. This is when the Hulk is gray. This is an awesome issue. If you,
Mr. Fix-It.
Yes, when he is – I don't know if he's Mr. Fix-It yet, but he's definitely gray. The Rhino shows up at a mall disguised as Santa Claus because the hat conceals his horn because at the time he couldn't take the suit off. And him and the Hulk get into a fight. But at some point during the whole thing, they almost hurt this little girl, and together they sort of team up to show her the spirit of Christmas.
Aww.
I'm not kidding. That's true.
I'd kind of like to see that one. Now I'm going to have to look that one up. Funny. All right, Josh, what's your very last one?
This is my last one, and you're going to appreciate this more than anyone else, Tom. This was right when the Ultimate Warrior got his comic book. Just called Warrior. And this was his quote-unquote zero issue. And it was a Christmas issue, and it's not so much a comic book as it's just the Ultimate Warrior posing in Christmas scenes in different outfits.
I can totally see that. That comic book sucked. His ego was totally unchecked following his departure from the WWF at the time, and he put out some real crap.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed. Okay, that's all I've got.
All right. Well, that's enough good stuff. I'm going to go right into my social relevance one because I believe Mikey was going to talk about this Batman comic book, which was called "Twas the Dark Night Before Christmas." Is that the one you were going to talk about?
Maybe.
Maybe. In it, Batman is shown the true meaning of Christmas, because on Christmas he goes around trying to fight crime, but criminals, a young boy steals a package from a woman. He runs away. He finds his gang of friends, a very multiracial group of friends, by the way, which I thought was kind of interesting for the street gang. And they unwrap the present that he snatched from her and ran away with. And it turns out to be a Batman figurine. And he's so moved by seeing the Batman that he wraps it up, finds the lady, and gives it back to her. And the story kind of goes on like that for a while. You know, crooks who are about to rob a bar, you know, go in and they see, you know, people drinking, and they're invited to share the feast, and they kind of slyly put their guns away before anyone notices, and they just have some food, and it's this one night a year that Batman doesn't have to work so hard. Plus, he sings. he also sings with the cops down at the station, dashing through the snow. And he has coffee with Jim Gordon at the end of it. And it turns out that that's a little tradition they do every Christmas. They try to sit and have coffee and just talk as friends. I thought this was a very nice little issue. Of course, this is a Neil Adams because it shows how different social issues and problems we still face are very difficult, but maybe the holidays are the time to take a look at them and maybe mend our ways. Thank you, Neil Adams, once again for showing us the way.
That was Batman 219, right?
That's what I got. Yep, 219, 1970.
That was not what I was going to talk about.
Oh, what were you going to talk about? Now you do have a good second one.
Well, so it's from that Superstar special that I had mentioned earlier in the Batman story. The whole reason that Gordon had summoned Batman with a bat signal was because he had no one else to spend Christmas Eve with. And Batman was the closest thing that he had to a friend. So that's what the essential story is about. It's actually very nice, even though it sounds really sad.
That does sound really sad. What the hell, Mike? What the hell?
I just wanted to end on a downer. Sorry.
Well, good job.
Sorry, it wasn't violent.
I like violent. And as long as I'm talking to my good friend Mike, Mike, what's at the front of the long box?
I'm going to make a suggestion that I think Josh will really enjoy. It's called Vote Loki. It is the god of lies, Loki, from Thor comics, decides to run for president because he has a birth certificate. He was actually reborn in Maryland by some parents who are unfortunately deceased. But don't worry, you'll be able to figure it all out later on. But the birth certificate's very real, or so he claims. He starts off the comic by actually saving the two presidential candidates from an attack by Hydra, and then decides that he's going to run for president. His exploratory committee consists of a bunch of crazed Loki fans who are basically cultists, and it's a very funny tongue-in-cheek book. Unfortunately, way too accurate. Loki readily admits that he's a liar, but all politicians are liars, so therefore they should vote for him, because at least you know that he's going to be lying to you. He's not going to lie to you by telling you he's telling the truth. Every time it looks like Loki has done something that is going to end his political career, he spins it so that way his followers like him even more, and they start blaming the media for trying to make it look like Loki's a bad person. So the comic book actually ends. This is a spoiler. If you're going to read it, don't listen to it. Loki is not able to answer any specific questions because he doesn't have a platform. He keeps on telling people, well, I'll come up with the solution to the problem after you elect me. Just trust me. And the voters in the Marvel Universe are too smart to fall for it. So he ends up losing the election. But it's a very good book, very scary, accurate how it is depicted.
This does not sound at all familiar.
Totally fictional.
So they're smarter than we are. That's not good.
Definitely fictional. Nothing to see.
Definitely here. Fictional.
When was that written, Mike? Do you know when that came out?
Yeah, this year. I don't want to say it was inspired by somebody running for president, but it was totally inspired by somebody running for president. It's you can get it on Amazon. It's a graphic novel, or you can go to Comixology
or pick up any paper. Let's patient, Mike. We all know it was inspired by Jill Stein.
I think if I could just find an app that rotoscoped the news, I wouldn't need to read this comic.
Do they still do rotoscope?
Sure.
Just asking. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Someone out there.
I mean, it looks a lot better.
Somebody's. Yeah. Someone's doing claymation. Someone's probably still playing with rotoscope. That's kind of a tangential. Josh, do you have a tangent?
Yeah, well, now that you mention it, favorite rotoscoped film?
Hobbit.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, he's got you there, Tom, because The Hobbit wasn't rotoscoped. You meant The Lord of the Rings.
Well, that's what I meant. You know I meant that. I also kind of like the one that Keanu Reeves did. What was that one called?
Couldn't say. My second would probably be Wizards.
Wizards? That was rotoscope?
It was a little bit.
There's a lot of rotoscoping, yeah. All the background stuff and the marching armies and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The Keanu Reeves one? You thinking, was that a Scanner Darkly? Was he in that?
Yes, Scanner Darkly. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. I do like Philip K. Dick. And I mean that in the... I mean...
We know you love Dick.
I do.
Yeah.
Love the Dick.
Love the Dick! Yes, Scanner Darkly. That was a terrific rotoscoped movie. Any others? Wizards? Lord of the Rings? Mikey?
Aladdin?
What? Was there Aladdin that was rotoscope? Do you know what rotoscope is, Mike? Are you just trying to pretend like you know what we're talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. So for the audience and Mike, rotoscoping is when they film stuff with live actors and then animate over the cells. So they do all the background animation and it looks like, you know. You've never seen a Scanner Darkly?
So the action looks more realistic because it is actual footage of people moving around and such. They just paint on it.
But you're just painting the film over the film.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of work to go through.
Well,
the effect can be very cool.
Nobody has to wear costumes. You know, it's basically voice acting, you know, like stage acting, but you don't have to build any sets. You don't have to put people in costume. So actually it's
so like
pretty,
Sin City? Would,
yeah. Yes, so Sin City would that call, rotoscoped. Huh? Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So I don't think the people. City,
which is
the
Aladdin of the Frank Miller movies.
they're definitely touched up. People, the Sin City stuff, they're definitely touched up over the film. And the background's all done over. But if you think of the Ralph Bakshi Lord of the Rings, Mike, that was all rotoscope.
That didn't help Mike at all.
I have to say that Peter Jackson stole all of the editing for the first movie from that film and gave Bakshi no credit whatsoever. No credit.
I never thought about that, but I think you might be right there.
He even stole the scene where the guy where they're hiding underneath the tree, which is not in the book. He stole that scene right from Bakshi.
He thought that's what the book. Maybe he never read the book.
Maybe he didn't read the book. I don't know.
I was gonna say, and they put that scene in the Lego video game.
And stole it again
as well
from Ralph Bakshi.
Yeah, Bakshi doesn't get nearly enough credit for this whole scene, the extra scene that he wrote in there. I have a friend of mine who's a huge Lord of the Rings nerd. I'm gonna have to bring this up to him, see what he says. All right, well, Tom, what do you got in the back of the long box?
I have in the back of the long box the Clerks Holiday Special. This came out back in December 1998. It had art by Jim Mahood, and of course it was written by Kevin Smith. It kind of took place right after Clerks. In it, Randall is working or not so working at the video store, and a Mr. Nicholas comes in. And I should preface, before I say any more, this is not a comic book for children. Anyway, yeah, Mr. Nicholas comes in.
Tell all the children what happens with the candy cane in this book. Go ahead.
I'm not even going to talk about the caning. But Mr. Nicholas comes into the video store, and he specifically asks for porn with little people in it. Special orders it from Randall. Randall doesn't know who this guy is. He looks him up, and he finds out that he lives right next door to the video store in an apartment that he never even noticed was there. He walks right by it to get into the Quick Stop, and he never noticed there was a door there. So a couple days later, he rings on Mr. Nicholas's door to tell him that the adult films that he ordered are going to be in, and it's Santa's workshop, and they're working like crazy, and all heck is breaking loose because they're behind schedule, because Easter Bunny had his brother killed by a cosmetic company, and it caused a huge scene, and Santa Claus had to do a lot of work to get everything swept under the rug, and he had to do all the Easter deliveries for the Easter Bunny, et cetera, and so forth. So he was way behind schedule, and it's a heartwarming story of Christmas.
You're gonna have to tell us a little bit about what happened with the candy cane.
Dante decides to visit his ex-girlfriend who's in a psychiatric hospital, and it's Christmas, so he brings her a candy cane.
Oh yeah, well that's gonna just about do it for us today. Love everybody. I'm gonna go take a shower and try to forget all of this.
What are you talking Josh? About? I had a nice, heartwarming story he told you all about the dead man.
Josh, before we go, I just saw a sign back there, and it said it was might have been your sector. Is this your sector?
This is not my sector, but generally we do plugs.
We definitely do plugs. I was gonna put that at the end, but we can do plugs right now. Anyone got any good plugs?
I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music. At the end of the podcast, we're going to be playing Cozy Pants O'Clock by Kirby Crackle. So if you like that, check him out at kirbycracklemusic.com or go on to iTunes and buy their music.
That's a great song. I like that one. Josh, any plugs?
Yeah, I will, since he was just talking about, I will plug jayandsilentbob.com, where if you are interested in getting things signed by Kevin Smith, a lot of the stuff on there is signed, and it's not expensive. So go get something from Mr. Smith, since he did that nice intro for us.
He did do that nice intro for us, and he is also awesomely cool, and we like him a lot. LT, any plugs?
I would like to plug IanLino.com.
IanLino.com?
IanLino.com.
IanLino.com.
Do we know those guys?
Yeah, we know those guys, and they're awesome. And, you should go there and buy their stuff. They have some terrific, terrific things, including stained glass. They do great cosplay, and they're super nice and funny. And I am drinking scotch out of a glass that they made.
The Johnny Skywalker glasses are fantastic.
It's the perfect place to go to get your Christmas gifts for the geeks in your life.
And I would also like to plug RickmanArt@yahoo.com. Rickman is an artist that is having some medical issues and is trying to pay some medical bills. So go get a commission from Rickman and help him pay his medical bills.
Well, I would just like to talk real quickly about our Twitter page, which is Outside the Long Box, at the Long Box, guys. Always happy to talk to and see more people. And we have a couple of good conversations going on there this week. Feel free to email us at luckybastard at Outside the Long Box. Is that right?
Yep.
At the Long Box, guys?
Luckybastard at Outside the Long Box.
At Outside the Long Box.
What are we giving away?
No, it's... What are we giving away this the week, LT?
Let me see what we're giving away.
You had one job.
I do have one job. I believe actually, we are giving away
two jobs.
We are giving away the Amazing Spider-Man New Avengers this month. Actually, no, we're giving away Supreme Power High Command this month is what we're giving away. Next month, we'll be giving away Amazing Spider-Man New Avengers. So,
great.
If you'd like a chance to win Supreme Power High Command, email luckybastard@outsidethelongbox.com and tell us what you think of the podcast.
Excellent. And as I was saying,
everyone will have a Merry Christmas or a Happy Hanukkah or a fantastic Kwanzaa or a good just day off.
All right. So, Josh, we've already decided that it's not your sector. Mike, what is Outside the Long Box to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
Excellent. And LT, did you get yourself a little catchphrase?
Outside the Long Box is like good friends sitting around drinking booze and talking about comics.
Yep, that sucked. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight, guys. Have a great night.
Happy holidays.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree. Josh doesn't know all the words, so he just kind of keeps singing that. And it makes me laugh every fucking year. All right, guys, have a great night, and love y'all.
Nothing on my mind but getting through. Traffic home quick and staying in for the night. Check TV and there's nothing on. Pour a cold pint to my favorite song. Catch up on blogs and tweets missed from the day. Hooray. And it's plain to see the simple joy it brings when there's nothing left to do but share the day. Pants o'clock. It feels so good to put on those soft pants, slip on your woolly socks. Sit back, relax, now and save in the moment. Cozy Pants o'clock. Whoa! And it feels fantastic. Cozy Pants o'clock. Whoa! I like a stretchy elastic. Night before and something about a cat and a Facebook post regret again. I smell eggs cooking, so I run downstairs, but not before I slip into my favorite pair of navy blue plaid with highlighted yellow stripes. They're so nice and they're right. I find the time of day no mind, cause the hour's here and the hour's mine, and you're next to me and it's cozy time. But it's cozy pants o'clock. It feels so good to put on those soft pants, slip on your woolly socks. Sit back, relax, now and savor the moment. Cozy Pants o'clock.